My Generation celebrates rock's greatest hits and the big news and events of this week. All details on the My Generation Facebook page. It's time to catch up.
It's Dangerous Dave here. Hello and welcome to our special Abbey Road 50th anniversary edition of My Generation. And self-confessed Beatles tragic Cran from Spiderbait joins us right now. Welcome to My Generation. How are you going?
Hi, Dave. I'm great, thanks.
Now, you faithfully and lovingly brought Abbey Road to life on stage and the tour's just wrapped up. But how did the show come together? Because you had Mark Wilson from Jet, Davey Lane from UMI and Darren Middleton from Powderfinger.
The band is called the Australian Rock Collective, and we sort of first played when we went to Brazil and played for the World Cup. It's just like a party band. We just have a good time together, and we wanted to do some big production, I guess, to sort of get ourselves out there and do something that was a bit different. It's not like Spiderbait or not like Jet or whatever. Davey's like, well, next year is Abbey Road's 50th anniversary, and I can remember in the van at Perth Airport, and we're like, oh, why don't we just do that, you know? Yeah. Why not start at the hardest record ever recorded, you know? I'm really spun out about the success of the tour, but it's kind of, it is a little bit like I imagined it would be, but I guess I'm really surprised that imagination has actually been so, you know, so wonderful and everyone's loved the show
so
much.
Have you been to Abbey Road?
Many years ago, yes. I think Davey's probably he's met Paul McCartney once, which makes us all jealous, you know, pretty amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just the studio's there, the road's there. I mean, it's just amazing, really. So,
what is it about that record? Why is it just this icon of an album?
I think one of the reasons is, and I can reflect on this in terms of like talking about Spiderbait as well. Like, we're a band, we've been together for a long, long time, and we just really care for each other so much. And, you know, something like selling out the Forum in one day, all of the other big festivals we've done in the past few years that have been so massive. Like, we're going through this really big, I call it a euphoric period, where just our crowds are just so excited. And it's just beautiful to be in a band with your friends. And the Beatles really, to me, is the band that inspired everyone to want to start bands. Because there's an equality there. I know they fought and stuff and there was hierarchy involved, but the Beatles were the first band phenomenon in the world. And it changed culture in a way where it was like, oh, I can get together with you and we can all do this together. You don't have to be Elvis. You don't have to be Frank Sinatra. You know, you don't have to be a movie star. And then also the songs are so incredible, the greatest collection of songs in history. Mm. Something happened to them along the way, and to finish their career with this record, and I keep making the analogy that it's a bit like a breakup of a beautiful relationship when you both, you're not bitter, you're just sad, but you know it has to end. You need to move on.
It's My Generation, it's Dangerous Dave here, joined by Cran from Spiderbait, who's doing a one-off show at the Forum in Melbourne on November 9 with a vinyl box set of your singles available exclusively at the show. So, Cran, what is it with people embracing vinyl these days?
For me, personally, like, I'm a pretty analog type of person. Like, I don't have social media. I don't really listen to things in that way. I like the simplicity of it, and particularly in regards to an album, it's nice to get put it out of the sleeve, put it on the turntable, play it. It does have a certain sound. I think they have a presence about them, and also a band or an artist will do an album and, you know, it's from start to finish that band, what they're trying to do. I mean, there's classic albums like so many in the history of music.
It's also good. The touch, I reckon, as well. Like, it's that actual being able to put something on and for me, I love reading through the liner notes and who produced the album, you know, when was it recorded and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Like, as an artist myself, like, to get your record yourself is just like, oh my God, this is so it's nice to hold it in your hand. Like, it's sort of, like as if you'd painted a painting or something like that. I went into JB the other day, and there's a map, our stuff. Yeah. So all our records are in there, all the classics, you know.
It's great, isn't it?
I go to op shops all the time and record
Me
shops.
Too.
Yeah, and I just have a huge collection. And so anyone out there who has and I'm telling you that, okay, I'm talking to you
We're
people
listening.
All around Australia. This is Cram. A lot of you will have a record collection, okay? Some of you might be quite old and have a fantastic record collection. I'm telling you that you have a different record collection than everyone else in the world. Yours is unique. So if you don't have a turntable anymore, please buy one and set up a record player and get back into that record collection. And if you don't want to do it, go and give it to someone. Give it to your daughter. Give it to your son. Give it to your friend, because they might listen to it. If you is like garages all over
there
Australia in the world.
There is a marketplace for them,
exactly.
Isn't there? People want them. You know, people
and
seek
you'll
them
find
out.
An incredible record in there, and you might have a revelation. But you know,
is there a favorite of yours? Is there one in your collection that's
my favorite record at the moment is probably Metal by Pink Floyd. I love Pink Floyd so much. I mean, I've been listening to Abbey Road a lot lately by the Beatles. I've been listening to an album called Good Love by a band from Brisbane called Major Leagues, which is really good. It was only released last year, so it's not all old stuff. That's the weird thing. Like, if I put the Major Leagues record on, and those girls are all good mates of mine, and I love that band. Mm. And then I'll put like something like Abbey Road on. There's a connection because they're both vinyls. You know, there is a connection between the past and the present.
All right, let's get back to the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' Abbey Road, where you can now hear two versions of Paul McCartney's 50s homage, Oh Darling. There's a new 2019 mix by producer Giles Martin, and a previously unreleased Take 4 of the tune, which is a bonus track on the deluxe editions. The Beatles' last album of the 60s was meant to be their Back to Rock and Roll roots live in the studio Get Back sessions, which would double as the soundtrack to a documentary film on the making of the album. But the plans were shelved until over a year later, when the project was eventually released. Meanwhile, they started from scratch on a brand new album that would become Abbey Road. With George Martin back on the controls, the new recording featured 6 new songs on side one, and only 2 fresh tracks on side two. The rest of this side is mostly made up of a suite of half-finished songs from previous sessions. John Lennon explains in an interview he did on Australian radio at the time about the album's release.
My contribution to it is Polytheme Pam and Song King and me and Mr. Mustard, so we just juggled them about till it made vague sense. And in Polytheme Pam, Mr. Mustard, I said his sister Pam, and originally it said his sister Shirley in the lyrics, so I changed it to Pam and make it sound like it had something to do with it.
Now here's John on Abbey Road opener, Come Together.
I think it's pretty funky, you know. I'm biased because it's my song, I dig it, you know. And it just happened well, you know. It's a nice funky sound on it.
And those shoop sounds at the beginning.
Oh, it's me going on tape echo. I'm sort of going through my hands like that.
Once again, he's John Lennon, this time extolling the virtues of a new keyboard instrument, the Moog synthesizer, which the Beatles used for the first time on Abbey Road.
George can work it a bit, you know. I mean, it'd take you all your life to learn all the variations on it. George has got one. He used it on the Billy Preston LP, and it also plays the solo in Because, and I think in Maxwell it comes in too.
And John Lennon's favourite track on the album?
We'd probably put Something Out as a single out there. I think that's about the best track on the album, actually, George's track.
The world agreed as George Harrison's Something became the album's only single release. Cran from Spiderbait joins us today, marking the release of the iconic Abbey Road album released on September 26, 1969. This was the next to last studio effort issued by the Beatles. Let It Be came out after the breakup in April 1970. Abbey Road's 17 tracks have been augmented by George Martin's son, Giles, and it contains 23 session recordings and demos, most of which are previously unreleased. Is there a song from the record that, I don't know, you connect to? What's the one you connect with the most?
I'm doing Come Together, which is really great. Come Together is really hard. It's tricky and you really got to get inside it. But probably my favourite one at the moment is I Want You, She's So Heavy. Yeah, it's just a real ripper and I love singing destroying microphones sort of thing. Yes. Like it's really like, wow.
Like, you know, it's like screaming. Dirty. It's a dirty
I'm
song.
I'm enjoying screaming as I get older even more than I did when I was 20. So it's like, it's really nice space and I can get where he's coming from.
It's my generation. It's Dangerous Dave. It's been 50 years since the Beatles recorded their final album, Abbey Road. 1969 was an important year personally for the Beatles, with 2 of them getting married, 1 becoming a father, and all of them working on their first solo projects. The 50th anniversary Abbey Road reissue is out now. And the box set also comes with a 100-page hardbound book with a foreword by Paul McCartney. Cran from Spiderbait, he's our special guest, and you brought these songs to life on the stage only last month, the Beatles' Abbey Road Live. You'd know these songs intimately.
If you look at things like, I mean, side two is, I think, influenced the 70s prog rock stuff. I don't think maybe Bohemian Rhapsody would never have been written without the side two. That's just for the first time sticking all these pieces of music together.
Medleys and
And creating a composition rather than a song. It was very compositional the way that worked. On side one, it's almost like a reflective, something reflective about it. There's different elements of or eras all within those songs, you know, like Octopus's Garden could be on any of their records.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh Darling could have been on the first few records. Yeah. I Want You, She's So Heavy could, that sounds like really Dirty White album. You know, there's all these different shades in
it. Right.
And I think the cover had a big impact too. Probably the most famous record cover in the history of music from six photographs.
Was the story where they were in recording or they were inside Abbey Road and they said, like, yeah, let's go do the photo.
Yeah.
So, was it walked out, exactly. snap, snap, snap.
That's it.
Walk back in.
I know.
And there it is.
It's incredible.
One of the most iconic album covers of all time.
I think that's the whole reason that Paul's got bare feet. So I'm going the Paul barefoot this tour so far.
And you're not
I always play in thongs and Spider-Bait anyway. So I've played in thongs in front of 50,000 people. Why change now?
Spider-Bait, the singles exclusive show. Let's get back to it. So where did this all come about?
So the Forum had a date available to play, just one night. And we was like, maybe we can do one night at the Forum. We hadn't played there for a long time. And we love this venue. It's one of the great old theatres of Melbourne. And we came up with the idea of, why don't we do a single show like we do all of our singles in chronological order, and kind of, I guess, in a way, celebrate the history and sort of, I don't know, I see it as a bit like, your songs are a bit like a diary of your life, and you look back at them and go, oh, man, what was I thinking when I wrote that song? And, you know, a lot of them go down in history, like, you know, there's songs like Old Man Sam, which is a ridiculous song that me and Whit did in the backyard in my mum's house, and our neighbours kept complaining because it was so noisy.
Wow.
You know, a few years later, we're playing that song and 20,000 people at the Sydney Big Day Out are singing along with us. So it's weird. Songs have a strange occupation in your life, and we just thought we'd do this show, I guess, to look back and from the start and go all the way to the end and where we're at now. And as an extra, we decided we'd press a whole bunch of 7-inch singles. And really, we're backing the vinyl in a big way, and I think a lot of people are. And so we've done a whole bunch of our original singles in a box set. So if you come to the show, you can get them. So we're sort of it's a bit of a sentimental show, but it's we found out pretty much as soon as we put it on sale that the whole show sold out in one day. So we were pretty spun out about that. I hope we got enough singles.
Mate, thanks for swinging by. Always a pleasure to catch up, and thank you for being here.
Thanks a lot, man.
My Generation. Tune in for Rock's greatest hits and the big news and events of this week. Details on the My Generation Facebook page.